Hello, and welcome to the Hot Goss Podcast with Trash Comedy. We bring in street effects. Oh boy, Shem, can we? You know what? No, we're not going to start over. No, I said it would be chaotic, and it will be. We bring in sweet, sweet facts, trade them around like they are dirty little pieces of gossip. Yes. We rate each fact on a scale of fuck that fact to ooh, hotter than me naked.
Yes.
On my most confident day.
Yes. Yes.
But the points don't matter. All that matters is we're all hot.
Yes.
I am Chloe, and I think I'm going to re-pierce my septum in a month or so.
Oh, I love the vague time frame. When the mood is right.
When the mood strikes, I'll have it.
I'm Rachel, and I don't, piercings. I've been wanting to re-pierce my nose. I had it pierced for a long time. Then I took it out for acting things, and it closed up. So I don't have any holes in my... Well, I have the two holes you're supposed to have in your nose, but don't have any extra holes in my nose now.
I'm Lindsay. I got my ears re-pierced last year, and then in a moment of, oh, I need to put that earring really quickly, I use one of the former holes and re-pierced it myself, and that hurt, but it's fine.
Hi, my name's Shem. I have no piercings, but I am sort of just on the cusp of a midlife crisis, so I feel like I'm just saving up to like get one installed.
You look nice with a little earring. Or two. Three.
That's what I'd like to think.
Hi, I'm Dan. Let's see. I am also unpierced. I don't see myself getting pierced. Oh my gosh, I started talking before I had a fact. I've got all the holes in my face that are supposed to be there. Yes. You know what? I in the vein of piercing, I have a new tattoo, and it is, it's a little scarred here, and I'm worried the scar won't go away, and part of the tattoo will be ruined forever before I've ever even had it be fresh.
It looks beautiful
it
from
looks
here.
Nice. It's great.
The Thank colors, you.
Yeah. Beautiful.
I only show it to people via Zoom.
Can you just stand over there? I'm just going to FaceTime you.
Yeah.
My name's Ryan. I have no piercings, but I used to have a little hoop that you could put on that is not a piercing. Uh-huh. And when I was like, you know, a young teenager, I thought it was pretty cool. And so I would never really wear it out and around, but I did have it and sometimes go like, this could be me.
Yes. I love that.
Oh man. Well, you've already heard our guests, they're unpierced, but they're still freaking cool. You might've heard them on Big Grande Podcast, Man Dog Podcast. Please welcome Ryan Rosenberg and Dan Lippert.
Thank you, everyone.
Hi. That reminded me, Ryan, of what you were saying. I used to have a fake before I had my nose pierced in the eighth grade. I had a little nose ring that you could just like put on and off. And I, too, never wore it anywhere. But every now and then, I just like pop it on in the mirror and be like, and then I'd be like, yes. No, I'm not.
And then you got a real one.
Yeah. And then dream. I was cool for those short 5 years.
Rach, because you're so cool, do you mind bringing us the first fact?
Oh my gosh, I can definitely do that.
Thank you.
Great, let me just pull it up. Okay, so I was reading about the... I'm going to really pronounce this wrong, but they're the Mithridatic Wars. Mm-hmm. Mithridatic Wars. The third of the Mithridatic Wars was interrupted by a meteor. And I think this is so funny because they were fighting for many days. Obviously, this is the third of the wars. It was Mithridates the VI of Pontus against the Roman Republic. And the war was mainly for like land. But on this day, the two opposing sides, of course, were deep into battle, and a meteor crashed right in between them. And instead of, they took it as a sign of like a sign from God that like we need to stop fighting. But what I think is really funny is it wasn't that they needed to stop the war altogether. They just took a break for the day and then came back the next day and kept going. Which I just thought was so funny because I could see that being like the end of the war. Like, oh my God, we need to stop doing this. But they're like, you know what? We're going to take a little TO and we're going to come back and we're going to do this tomorrow. And they did.
Right. Because you said it's for land, right? It's like God put like a huge gap between both of them. It's like, this is the barrier. Deal with it.
Yeah.
They were like, no, no.
It reminds me of that famous football match in the trenches during Christmas in World War One, where the two teams like put up a little flag, came out and played football, and then went back to killing each other the next day. Maybe more angry after a few penalties.
Yeah, I've like never thought that story held as much beauty as other people did. Like, yeah, these 18-year-olds needed a break before they could kill each other some more.
Truly.
Now, here's my question for everybody.
Yes.
From what we've heard about this Mithridatic War, does anyone know what year it was? Like, what could you guess?
Nine.
Because we know Roman Empire.
Well, Roman Empire went for a while because it goes all the way into the Ottomans.
Yeah.
So like.
But the Mithridatic sounds like BC to me. That sounds like Greek BC.
Yes.
I'm going to guess like 400 BC.
Well, I was going to say 392, but I don't know how BC works with Price is Right rules.
You're closer to zero, so you would probably be, you would beat me, I think.
Any more guesses?
I'll go 100.
100?
I like can't even comprehend.
I know.
I just picked the number.
All right. Price is Right rules. Lindsay wins. It was from 73 to 63 BC was the third.
Wow.
Mithridatic. I can't even say that.
Wow.
But yeah, which I just found really interesting. They also said that the meteor looked like a hog's head. So it like wasn't like a huge, like earth-shattering, but it, you know, it's...
I was still imagining it was huge and they were just like whimsical and be like, that kind of looks like a hog's head. It's still like fucking big.
I bet you everything like... looked like a hog's head to these people.
Yeah. The way that it's written is like, the clouds parted, the sky opened, and a meteor fell to the earth. And I was like, I definitely would be like, we're not supposed... I don't want to be that guy, but we shouldn't be fighting here in this moment.
You guys know I'm not usually like woo-woo like this, but this feels like if we're gonna listen to something.
No granola.
This feels like the kind of on the nose metaphor that you'd find in like Don't Look Up. Like it's like it feels like Adam McKay wishes he knew this fact.
Yes.
Like the sequel will have exactly this.
Yes. Yeah, how hot do you think that meteor effect is, guys?
I would say as hot as the sun was on that hot day, because they probably didn't have sunscreen and they were burning up.
Nice. Thank you so much.
Yeah. I think it's as hot as if you like spit roast a hog, but they took that off the menu that night because they were scared.
We already did. Mm-hmm.
I think that fact was as hot as the parties from going on to 0 BC to 0 AD. Everyone just went wild that night for New Year's Eve.
It's as hot as a meteor crashing into Earth.
Oh, hot and scary.
Deadly.
As hot as the barrels of the guns they wish they were fighting with.
Oh, yes. Thanks.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
And thanks in advance to Shem. Who's got the next fact?
I do. Wow. The order is
thanks,
wild.
Shem. The order is wild.
thanks, team. I'm really rooting for myself here. My fact was I read this in the book and I was excited by it because it was depressing. But I remember the 2003 Outkast record, Hey Ya's, being like a big smash hit. It's a staple of weddings and dance was everywhere. The song flopped on its initial launch. The record company that released it They had this sophisticated new computer algorithm that could determine which songs would be a hit. Were like, they played the song, the algorithm, and they were like, this song is gonna destroy. It's like catchy and it's cool and it's great. Like, this song is like a surefire hit. So they were like all like pumped and jazzed about the success of Hey Ya. But then when they were playing it on DJ, they're playing it in radio stations, it was more skipped than, like, people would, they can track when people like change the channel for like in the programming. So they were like listening, they're watching like Hey Ya come out, and people just kept like changing the channel. And then they got like their data scientist on it, and apparently it's because it sounded like weird and different. So there's a stickiness when you listen to radio, you want things that sound like things that are on the radio, even if they're good songs or bad songs. Like a Celine Dion always sounds like a Celine Dion song. Yeah. So you're like, oh yeah, Celine Dion. Oh yeah, and you'll keep it on. Whereas if something's new or weird, it will like make you change. So they launched a marketing campaign where they got DJs to play it between two different songs that sounded like normal radio songs, so that you were like in a place of in the zone of comfort. And then now so the Arista Records got like, they use that psychological marketing to get Hey Ya to now be resembled as like a classic. So yeah, like that's how they got it into the chart. So after doing that, it went from a 27% switchover rate down to like 5%.
Whoa.
Wow.
That's so smart. That's kind of cool.
That's tricky.
What? It really makes you think about how like nothing isn't like free will isn't exactly what I'm talking about. There's no just like random overnight success. There was so much like math and people who wanted money working so hard to get the money for us to like this song, but like for us, it's like, oh, it's just a fun loving song.
And I remember when that song came out, like listening to like the album, like, what's this? This song's great and different. Everyone agrees with me. And it's like, nope, people were hard, like not like on with that vibe.
I love that song. I'm trying to remember what the hook sounds like, but all I can think of is, shake it like a Polaroid picture.
The hook is just him going, hey, yeah.
Okay. Oh.
I have kind of a longstanding question of if that is maybe the best song of our time, as far as like people's response to it, because there's no song that is like more likely to get everybody, especially in that time, but still now, to get everybody like up. Everyone knows it. Everyone's excited. Like, you could argue a lot of Michael Jackson stuff too, but like, you know, there's like, Yeah would be up there.
I want to agree with you because I feel like the alternative is Uptown Funk.
It also
This is the second.
Hi, at this point our Zoom just disconnected for no reason. It comes back.
That scared me. I was like, oh, sorry.
Four quadrant, you motherfucker.
Wait, hold on. We're coming back. Give me a second.
Oh, we're muted.
Just being honest.
Come on. Wait, so we should be able to.
Maybe?
Yeah, we're coming.
Do you have a thing where there's like a new Shem window?
Yeah. It's coming.
Four quadrants now.
Four quadrants.
Don't want
you to move, just want to dance.
Got it.
Hey.
Got him.
Oh my gosh, sorry.
That's okay.
I hate when that happens so much.
It was really funny because we could see like on our screen, we could see that we were muted and our camera was off, but Shem was still like, we're coming. It's cool. It's cool. We're coming. And I was like, Shem, they can't hear you.
You have a new Shem window. It's like, we're trying to get into our we're getting in it. We're here now.
No, that was perfect.
I like the assumption that we have like no object permanence.
I do love that. Other songs, I feel like
it's recording again. Okay, our recording had stopped for a second, but it says it's recording now.
Yeah, we should be good. We're also recording off of Zoom, so we good.
Sweet.
You were about to say another song that you thought was in that canon. Because Michael Jackson is like up there, up there. I think Hey Ya is the best of those.
Yes. I also, the song is actually completely escaping me. it's like a really, like, it's like a...
Just, like, give me a minute. Is anyone else in the song?
It's like a classic, like, white person song.
The one, Don't Stop Believing?
Yes, it's Don't Stop Believing! Because here's the thing. The lyric, Just a City Girl, was in my head, but the song Uptown Girl was the only song that was coming in my head. And I was like, it's not Uptown Girl. It's white.
I love how you got that from, like, the simplest of clues.
Yeah. But it is. That's like one at weddings that everyone is like,
what? Yeah. Sorry. I think that song is so, for me, like, now associated with the Sopranos ending too. It's got like, just feels like weddings and dancing. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's where it belongs. Yeah.
I would say Don't Stop Believing is like karaoke.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, I feel that.
Cause it's like old enough to be cheesy now. Yeah. I think Hey Ya for the next generation will also be like, this sounds like it's from the 50s. Why did you guys like this in the 2000s? You know?
Is Hey Ya also like, is it like the 12th Outkast song about like, hey, I can't be tied down? Is that kind of the idea of Hey Ya, right?
They have their theme.
Yeah, they have. That was on their fifth album of recording back to the I can't even be tied down to being in a band. We're going to record separately.
Yeah.
Right. So they definitely like their space.
They've loved the last 2 years. Like, this is perfect.
Shem, your fact is as hot as I imagine the rivalry is between Outkast and those Black Eyed Peas, baby. Early 2000s, come on.
This morning, I just need to tell this. Chloe, this morning, we're supposed to be talking about show opening pitches for a live show we're doing. And Chloe just goes, I just want to pitch this to you guys. Where are the reverse Black Eyed Peas?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
I hate that. I just...
Sam, have you ever peed your pants in the middle of a show?
We don't talk about it.
She's like, oh, no. Sorry, I had to share that. Shem, that fact is as hot as like the sweat and the prepubescent like sexual tension of my like eighth grade school dance where everyone was getting down to Hey Ya. It was nasty.
Yeah. It was nasty. It was a nasty fact.
Shem, that fact is as hot as when you get hot water out of a tap. And the reason I'm saying that is because the two friends I live with when I first moved to London, this was like one of the songs that we always did chores to around the house. So hot as the hot water that we then washed up to Hey Ya with.
My friends were just telling me about how they have to like trick their dog into going into like his fenced off room at night to sleep. And so they get, Talia was telling us, Ryan, about like, they make him really excited before they fence. They're like, hey, the fence is coming out. You're going to the bathroom. That feels like what you had to do for your chores. It's like, chores again. We love Hey Ya.
Yes, 100%. Still to this day.
Whoa, a song. Okay. All that cute. Yay.
Is it my turn?
Yeah.
Who else still?
Anyone else?
That song, that fact was as hot as Caroline's poo poo that she thought smelled like roses.
I like that. That fact was as hot as, oh, I don't know, the sun.
That's hot.
That's hot.
That's
so
hot. It's really hot.
That's a hot fact.
You know, someone used the sun is already not a great one to use. Someone did use that the last time. Right?
But always
thank
hot.
You. Are we doing how cold the podcasting is?
Ice cold.
Sorry, ice cold.
Ice cold.
Well, you know, his rating, the sun, maybe not fresh, but I know he's got a fresh fact otherwise. Ryan, how about you go first? First,
okay.
Next fact.
Well, this fact isn't as long. It's more of a cute little quotable. Well, not quotable at all, but you know those chef hats, mm-hmm. the like tall mm-hmm. chef hats? Apparently, they're like paper hats and they're made to have 100 folds in them. They like have 100 little creases or whatever, which is meant to represent the 100 different ways that you can prepare an egg.
Stop.
Yeah, because it's supposed to be like a senior chef knows 100 different ways to do everything kind of. So I guess it's like a little self-congratulatory hat.
Fried. Mm-hmm. Wait, how romantic.
More scrambled.
That's my so beautiful.
It's really cute.
Next time I see one, I'm going to be like, name them. Why am I doing the finger gun so much today? It's been a theme. Name them.
Point them out.
I love that. I feel.
I don't know if this is. I don't think this is boring.
No.
How many ways can we name of making eggs? Yeah. I feel like we could get up to 20.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 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 uh-huh. Yeah. We can. Yeah, like we
frittata.
Have
frittata.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I was gonna say hard boiled, soft boiled. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Scotch.
Oh, scotch. Wow, you already jumping to scotch.
Sorry. scrambled.
An egg Florentine, whatever that's in there.
Mm-hmm. Coddled.
White.
Benedict.
White. Yeah. Benedict.
Huevos rancheros.
Mm-hmm. Huevos rancheros. I think you're just naming egg dishes, but I.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe that's not quite it. Because that's also, yeah.
But I do. That is a right. beautiful egg dish that I love.
Oh, I know. It's fried scrambled.
They are fried souffled. In huevos rancheros.
Oh.
Souffle.
Souffled.
Over easy, over hard, uh-huh. over medium. That
is that real?
Those
can't
count.
Those
cannot count.
That is not real.
You don't think so?
If a chef was like, "Oh, I prepared it over easy," I would say, "Take the hat off."
Yeah, that's not 100.
Yeah. Wait, you don't like over easy?
No, as in like that doesn't. That feels like just another version.
Yeah, yeah.
This chef's hat would be like one of those boat hats where it's only got about 12 folds in it.
Oh, sous vide.
Oh yeah.
What's sure. Mm.
Preparing poached. A glazed.
Omelet.
Like a glaze, like a
Oh yeah.
Omelet.
Yeah. Omelet.
Like raw in a Bloody Mary.
Yeah. Raw.
We're at 20.
Was raw count? Okay. Raw was the 20th.
Raw was the 20th.
No preparation.
No. Yeah, you gotta crack it so you don't get little shells in it.
All the best chefs know the best way to prepare one is to not prepare it.
Yeah. Decorated for Easter. Smelling like vinegar.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Wow, fun. Okay. Well,
doesn't that feel like such a cool thing that we romanticize from the past? Is like everything had a reason.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I don't know. I guess everything's been invented or something, but it's like, what do you do now? Everybody makes everything feel so like disposable now that nothing would have like that depth of real. Like I was trying to figure out why clothes made for women are made with the buttons on the other side.
Yes.
And it's because someone would dress the woman, like would button them for them. And then it just stayed that way forever. Even though now most people dress themselves.
It's the same as like the people drive on different sides of the road because of like people who carried swords and they didn't want the swords to like clang. So that's why they had those road things in place.
Oh, you mean really different cool. sides of the road? Like,
so like in the UK, like you drive on right. the
Left.
We've been here a while.
It's like, hang on, Shem. Hang on. I thought that accent sounded a little fake.
That's my dream, is to find out one day that Shem has been faking this the whole time.
100%.
I'm also from Tucson. Like,
how dare you? I'm not from Tucson.
I'm from Tucson.
Wait, are you really?
Yeah. Where are you from? Why were you so offended?
No. My parents live in Tucson now.
Oh, do they?
I'm from California, but I grew up in Phoenix. But cool.
Cool. Cool. All right.
I thought you were going to go like, I'm from Scottsdale.
Absolutely not. I'm not from that trash. I always called Scottsdale like the Eagleton of Arizona, if you guys know the Parks and Recs.
I know
reference.
One person.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Where I just was like,
oh. Yeah.
The Shelbyville.
Yeah.
I know one person personally from Scottsdale, and yeah.
That fits.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's yeah. like the Orange Helios. County of Arizona.
Yes. Mm. Yes. Yeah. It's not good. Not good.
Yes, but like that. That's why they have the swords and they're on that side of the road. But like the thing you said about like everything's been invented reminds me of when I went to school in like the late 90s. And they were like, it's the end of history. Everything's already happened. All conflicts are kind of like going. And like we've kind of pretty much nailed it. And then they didn't sort of foresee like 9/11 and then the huge like global political people that would happen there. And then also when I was like reading about like technology in the future, no one had any idea about the internet coming and like the way that that would like disrupt everything. So like kind of I agree, but it's also like you just have the unexpected thing that's coming, you just have no idea what it is. So I have like, this huge hope that like this amazingly wonderful like inventions are just around the corner that will be like mind blowing and fun.
We have NFTs.
Yeah, I did not picture the Bored Ape Yacht Club when I was. Yeah.
Finally, it's here!
Wow, wow, wow.
Check out my avatar on Twitter. Whoa.
Right? And I screenshotted it. It's mine now.
Oh, no. Okay, well, that fact was as hot as. Okay, since we brought up Arizona, I'm sorry, I have to do this. As hot as the piece of bologna that someone stuck to my car in high school and in that hot, I think that it must have been like April, May, Arizona heat, prepared and cooked that piece of bologna on my car because of all that heat.
Oh my gosh.
So just a way to prepare the bologna. It's as hot as that.
Were you being pranked or someone just did it?
That's the thing. If it was like a prank, it was very odd. And it's not like there was a lot of bologna on my car. It was just like one. I kind of just like have a feeling like a small child like ripped it from their sandwich and like threw it and it hit my car. Because I was like parked by, I wasn't parked in my school's parking lot. I was parked by a neighborhood. So I also drove like a minivan. So like it fit in with like a mom car in the suburb. So I just feel like some child was like, bologna.
It is so much funnier to be like, I wasn't pranked. Bologna. I just got hit by loose bologna.
Yeah. Listen, in Phoenix, Arizona, could happen. Watch out.
Did it cook it? Did you peel it off? And it was like, hey, golden brown.
Yeah. It wasn't like fully cooked through, but like, a little crispy on the edges, you know?
That kid's going
Why does that
first.
Still interest me? Like, I'm still like, I maybe would be curious enough to bite it.
I would taste it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That fact is as hot as, and so this is how I imagine you get 100 pleats, is you get a new pleat every time you learn a new way to cook an egg. So it's as hot as that moment when you go from the 99th pleat to the 100th pleat, and everyone is like, they are a chef.
Wow. That's cool.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That fact was as hot as the embarrassment I'm feeling right now because I looked up the 100 ways to cook an egg and Sunnyside is totally like valid.
Thank you so much. Was Huevos Ranchero? Yeah, was
no. Was still raw? Fuck you for that. But
raw? Like, did I qualify?
Raw pickled all in there.
Pickled.
That fact is as hot as the eggs hatching in Jurassic Park.
Spooky.
Imminent danger.
Spooky, yes. I'd say that fact is as hot as the boiling water right before you turn the heat off and put the egg in to poach it and stir the water.
I love that. It's hot.
It's pretty hot.
Yeah.
Someone give Dan one fold in his hat.
Just because I know the process of cooking doesn't mean I have ever succeeded.
It's hard. Mm-hmm. It's hard.
It's hard to poach.
Well, before we get our next fact, I'll get a little word from our sponsors. Thank you, sponsors. Dan, we are going over to you.
I just want to make sure that the sponsors isn't anything that I would be like against supporting, right?
It's us advertising isn't it anger? This podcast.
Okay, great. I was like, isn't it anger?
So technically.
So yeah,
this podcast is sponsored by Raytheon.
Yes. And then we'll occasionally run like a Ted Cruz ad or whatever.
just the occasional
cruise.
Raytheon, I think, pretty heavily a big employer in Tucson. Raytheon and Hughes.
I was going to say my dad used to work for, that's the reason he quit after like a few months, but that's the reason that they moved to Tucson was because he went to work for Raytheon. But he stopped. He doesn't work there anymore. But it was scary. He had to get like, he's like an engine, like a material scientist, but his job was to make sure that the nuclear missiles don't explode.
Whoa.
But I was like, okay, at least if you're working for this awful company, because he usually works for like med tech companies, like he used to like make pacemakers and like really nice things. And so I was like not feeling good about him working there. And I was like, well, okay, well, at least if you're working there, you're like making sure that they don't do bad things. But now it's good luck.
Loosey goosey.
Oh my gosh. It's like, yeah, I can't in good conscience keep working here because of what I've seen.
Yeah.
Guys, we're not
going
to figure this out.
He didn't really give me too many details. So good. We don't know.
All right. My fact, like Ryan's, is, I would say, short, but equally as sweet as an egg.
Oh, yeah.
Eggs are so sweet.
Yes.
Ever heard of a meringue?
21.
My fact is that the record holder for most winners of the MTV Movie Award Best Kiss is Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart with 4 best kisses for Twilight. They won 4 Whoa. Times in a row.
Wow.
I think that's an era. 5 movies, so 1 movie did.
Wait, that's so funny. Yeah, because they did they split part 1 and 2.
That's hysterical.
Oh my gosh. And I think 2009-2010, Kristen Stewart was nominated twice. Oof. Because she was nominated also with Taylor Lautner.
Good lips.
Wow. But Team Edward won.
Yeah, Lautner couldn't pull through.
No, Team Jacob. Wow, I remember how... Dang. How important that used to be.
It still is.
Do they still
totally
they still have? Okay, yeah. Whoa.
I think I would be like, these awards are so stupid. I don't even care. But secretly be like, oh my god, everybody thinks we're so hot.
Know.
You know what I mean? Like, it would be hard to have that not affect you year after year. That everybody thinks your kiss is like the idea of what they're looking for. Yeah. You know what I mean? That's bizarre.
Yeah, and also at the age of like what, 19 or something like that, or it's like I maybe kissed 2 people by then.
Yeah. I also like. No measures. Just like I hope Kristen was just like, I'm also gay. You guys don't even know what I'm capable of.
This is don't even know.
This is acting.
Didn't
Sarah Michelle Gellar and Selma Blair? Is that who it is? Didn't they? They keep getting brought on. I think they only won it once, but they keep getting brought on to recreate the kiss.
Oh.
Yeah.
The Cruel Intentions kiss from 2000.
Yeah. I think they keep getting brought on to like events to commemorate it. And I'm like, oh, we can stop that now.
That's funny. Like instead of Neil Armstrong being brought around for stuff.
Yeah. They're like, ladies, you ready? They're waiting by the phone. They're like, you want us to kiss? Okay.
It's all just like 40-year-old men in charge of those jobs that were 14 when that movie came out. They're like, you know what's actually still really cool?
When you can get 2 ladies to do it. Man. That's crazy.
That's crazy, dude.
That always makes, like, some of these things have been replaced for me by, like, the parody thing of them. Like, I think it's Not Another Teen Movie. Mm-hmm. They recreate that scene, but with, like, a very old woman and whatever. And it's, like, that is what I think of now when I think of Cruel Intentions. Yeah. Like, they've kind of...
That's really funny.
That's so funny. Well, yeah, that'll be, you know, by the time they get called around for the 99th time, the 2 old ladies smooching.
Sarah Michelle, her time in the late 90s, early 2000s, like between Cruel Intentions, I mean, Scooby-Doo, of course, but I Know What You Did Last Summer. She was
Buffy.
I mean, I didn't want to say the obvious, but Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, my God.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it was a good time for 3 named actresses.
Yeah. Freddie Prinze Jr., I guess Junior doesn't really count.
I think it does. You're saying it. You're saying it.
I agree with you.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, good, 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 good.
Jennifer Aniston was shaking in her boots.
Yeah, she went through a little phase.
Yeah.
Jennifer Junior, Junior Aniston.
I was like, what? What
Wow, I do wonder, like, what movie didn't win of the five.
I also wonder, and this is probably Googleable, does the home audience vote on MTV, or is this like, like,
right?
Yeah. The Oscars, right. Whatever MTV committee is like,
I think it's the people, the right?
Do you get sent screeners? Like,
yeah,
this one,
right.
MTV, just
like your scene. Hot kisses.
I have no,
wait, cute. Okay, what's everyone's favorite kiss?
In a movie?
In your life or in, no, okay. Let's all go around and share our favorite kisses.
Oh.
I don't know if I have a favorite movie kiss.
You asked the question.
I know. I just wanted to.
Everybody go. I'll go last.
Okay. Mine was also Ryan's, okay?
And scene.
I'm sure I'll have one. I need a second.
Yeah, I
need Fredo
to think
and the
about
Godfather.
It. The Godfather?
Godfather Part 2, where he kisses.
Oh, the kiss of death.
Kiss of death.
Ooh.
I always think about that Spider-Man Beautiful. Upside Down in the Rain one, because just because I think that was another MTV one that was, you know.
That, it's so funny. I was just watching either the second or third of those Spider-Man series. It was on TV. And there's a little plot part where she's dating someone else and she tries to make him kiss her upside down. She's like longing for it. So right.
Just trust me. It's going to be really hot.
And he's like, babe, what do you want this what for?
I can't. My head is getting full of blood.
You're 96 with me.
I'm going to get really dizzy.
That's a good one, Ryan. That might be a tough one for me to beat.
Yeah.
That's probably the most iconic movie kiss.
I was just going to name anything from the L word.
Oh, I was going to say being gay, the one that sticks out is in John Tucker Must Die. There's...
Why don't I remember that?
Because it's absolutely unnecessary to the plot.
The girls.
Yes.
Snow.
They were just like, you guys should kiss in the car. And they were like, yeah, we'll kiss in the car. And then they kept fighting over the guy. That was it.
Yeah.
But my little gay ass was anytime that movie was on TV, I was like, where are we in the movie? Oh, sorry, I didn't miss it. Please.
I love that.
Are we at the kiss yet?
Being straight, I had to go, the kiss of death in The Godfather.
Probably the kiss where someone dies, honestly.
I'm going to say, you ever heard of a Dementor? I'm going to go with a deleted scene from Godfather when he rolls over and kisses the dead horse's head.
As a child, I used to hate romantic moments in movies, so I would fast forward like all the kisses. Like, my family would put on musicals a lot because I think, like, I did enjoy them, they would shut me up. And like, Sound of Music, like, when they're in that, like, in the greenhouse, not Liesl and Ralph, but the Captain and Maria, I'm like, I don't want this song, it's too soppy. Fast forward, and only probably in the last 10 years have I started watching those moments. I was like, I see the meaning to this point in the movie now. Fast forward.
I would say maybe a more iconic kiss or on this list is the one in Lady and the Tramp over the spaghetti.
The spaghetti kiss. Classic.
Again, not kiss. Into that, sir, as a child.
What a waste of pasta.
You the animated
maybe that's
ones.
Kara's always like,
don't show me the cover.
I don't want to. Oh. That was fun.
I was trying to remember if there's like any kiss in Mary Poppins, but I don't think there is. There's maybe like a cheeky kiss on the cheek from Bert to Mary.
Yeah, I don't think they do a big smooch.
So I didn't need to fast forward that movie. That was
in
that
the
was
background.
Fun.
Some of those animated penguins are really going for it.
Well, then they can. I love a penguin.
Yeah, they never kissed during that sex scene with her and the chimney sweeper.
No kissing, no eye contact. Strictly none.
Wow. I'm kind of shocked that none are popping in my mind. I guess kiss scenes don't stick with me.
I know.
I think I remember, I guess I do just remember the MTV ones. I don't even remember them from the movies. I remember like MTV making a big deal out of them.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, I do know my favorite in Princess Diaries when she gets her foot popping kiss.
That's cute.
Just because that was the cute moment. And then the first one, the foot pop doesn't work and you know it's not right.
You know what, a kiss that actually I think probably made me like tear up when I saw it in theaters is the In the a Mighty Wind, because there's the whole storyline with Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara where they're like reuniting as a folk band and they have a song that has a break because the song's about like a kiss and they kiss in the song. So the whole movie's like building up, like, are they gonna do the kiss? They're like divorced now, whatever. And it's like a very sweet moment.
That's beautiful. Mm.
That's beautiful. A good one.
Yeah. And now I got a new movie to watch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Mighty Wind is funny.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or at least was 15 years ago. I haven't seen it in a long time.
The caveat you give in any movie that wasn't made 2 years ago.
Yeah. This movie's funny. Like, first character is like the worst gay character that you've ever seen.
Yes.
Oh, man.
I wish they would do that. Joe and George Lucas re-edited Star Wars to like take out or to like adding characters, and Spielberg took out a lot of guns from E.T.
Mm-hmm.
If you could just remove homophobia from 90s comedies.
You'd be left without the sassy best friend.
American Pie, the 5-minute cut.
Yeah. Friends is one season.
I was like, Friends. Yeah. Frost doesn't have an ex-wife.
And he's not a mean dude to them.
They just digitally inserted the black person in New York.
I feel like Ellen as a whole is just homophobic. So her whole show,
just
pull it off there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Don't say that too loud. She's listening.
She is scary.
Ellen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her like talk show is homophobic?
I feel like just like the idea of Ellen is.
Oh, yeah.
Like Ellen as a concept.
Just to Ellen.
Pull the show.
It's like, this is how to be a palatable
gay person.
Gay person, yeah.
All right. Well, that fact was as hot and steamy as a scene in The L Word, which I honestly think is the funniest sex scene I've ever seen. So hot and funny. Where Bette and Tina, I'm going to deliver this. You haven't seen The L Word, right?
Mm-mm.
Okay, I'll deliver this directly to Chloe.
Don't make assumptions.
Okay, have you guys? I'm so sorry. Have you watched The L Word?
No, but only because I didn't have Showtime.
Before I came out, Chloe,
we don't need to edit that now. No homophobia. Just lack of streaming channel.
Before I came out, Chloe found out that I had seen The L Word, but I convinced them that it was because I liked the plot, but which is funny because there's like no plot. And Chloe was like, oh yeah, that makes sense. And I was like,
this girl is the dumbest girl I've ever met.
That's like your version of I read it for the article.
Yeah. I love boys. Anyways, Bette and Tina get in a really big fight. Remember when Bette and Tina get in a big fight and they hit each other's arms like, no. And then they have sex and it's really funny. So it's as hot as that.
Sounds hilarious.
Wait, a quick detour here. Yes. I am not watching that show and just like that. Sex and the City one. Has anyone seen it? Because there was like a screen grab meme going around where like somebody is maybe fingering someone in a kitchen.
Yeah.
What's going on there that sure. became so popular?
And thank you for bringing that up, because your fact is as hot as the scene in And Just Like That when Che Diaz, played by Sarah Ramirez, and Miranda, played by Cynthia Nixon, and she's getting aggressively fingered by Che Diaz while Carrie is a room away, like very soon after her husband died. Sorry, spoilers.
That's a big spoiler.
And when I tell you, Cynthia Nixon was screaming.
Stop it. I'm getting uncomfortable just thinking about it. I voted for her.
I implore you to watch this.
I don't think you will scream. I don't think I can.
It's as hot as that scene. Ooh, it made hot and uncomfortable.
Okay.
I was like, I'm not watching.
Feel my hand. I'm sweating just recounting it.
Were you fingering?
It was awful.
All right, I need
that fact was as hot as Che Diaz's awesome stand-up.
Yeah.
Yes. That fact was as hot as the Peloton marketing executives who were like, "Yeah, we'll capitalize on the and that just like that." a Peloton tie-in with Mr. Big, and then immediately having to pull it because he got like accused of like assault like the day afterwards. That's the death that happens in the show.
Why did I miss all this news? Like, I think I saw it in just like that, and I was like, I'm siding with Kim Cattrall. I'm not watching.
And Kim thanks you for that.
Personally. Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay, so then we're happy. Okay. Die.
That fact is as hot as the 101th pleat in a chef's hat. And I don't know how he cooked those eggs, so she did, or they did. But they found a new way.
The 101th pleat is for a Dalmatian.
It's for kissing! It's for kissing the egg.
I kiss every egg before I say that.
It's for the chef's kiss. Okay, fine. Aww.
I'm going to bring the next fact.
Okay.
No segue. I'm just going to say it. But it's a quick one. NASA, they developed their own pen for space, and they were like, we can't use pencils because if the lead breaks off, it basically becomes a projectile that could stab someone or something. So they made a special NASA pen that you can buy at their NASA gift shop.
Is it because the ink normally would flow up? So they need to make a special one where the ink comes out?
I think something, but there was a whole debate of like, did NASA spend millions while the Russians were just using a pencil? Like, it wasn't true. Nobody's using a pencil in space because it's a weapon.
Wow.
Wow.
I guess you could like use a crayon.
As someone who by mistake stabbed themselves with a pencil at school, it is a weapon.
Oh no, you just had a mark on my hand
for years.
Stop. Whoa, I have a mark in like almost the exact same spot.
Whoa. Was everyone doing this?
Scary. No.
I forgot. Nice game.
Wait, how did you guys stab yourselves?
I was like bored and I don't know, was like messing around with it and like I think like doing a bit of that tap in and then also was like turning it upside down really quickly and just mistimed, misended the pencil and hello hand.
Rabba-ba-ba.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot. Rabba-ba-ba.
That is my
I empathize with pain, I have to scat.
Wait, which is really funny because you guys don't know this, but I'm in school right now to be a therapist. So I am imagining myself like in a session being like that hasn't happened in a session yet, but I hope it does.
What are you gonna do?
I hope it does.
With this podcast, because our therapist, Ryan and I see the same one, not together, but she is like a ghost on the internet.
Okay, I think about this all the time because how traumatizing would it be to look your therapist up on the internet and find a sketch of them acting? I'm in a sketch about toilets that suck the poop out of your butt. I did not, this was an old sketch team. I did not contribute to this other than giving my being. I think I'm going to change my last name.
It seemed more like a human to me.
Smart.
I think I'm going to change my last name and keep Chada as my comedy name because I would be completely trapped. My therapist is an MFA and she too is a ghost on the internet, but I'm like, there must be something. You must have removed yourself somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I was just talking about this yesterday because a mutual friend of ours was like cancelled for being like a racist, but then when you Google his name, like nothing comes up because he paid this like company to like just put all these fake websites on the internet to change his like search rankings. And there's like a whole industry of like doing this for people who have like a problematic past. So like suddenly you'll search John Peters tennis and John Peters, and then just a bunch of like websites will come up about John Peters tennis or something like that to like divert attention away, and it helps like hide all your past.
Oh, I mean, I kind of want to keep it for me, but this is me just like ping ponging and being like, I don't know what I'm gonna do. We'll see. We'll find out.
Why is everybody looking at me?
Because you're hosting this episode.
Because you're the racist friend.
Oh, well, I thought I deleted that.
Oh, shoot.
I think I was hoping to learn more about that pen, but I'm fine if I don't.
I thought there was going to be more pen talk.
I feel there was going to be more pen talk too.
Nope, no, just pencils or weapons in space.
Oh yeah.
Does the pen always work? I mean, because it would be so frustrating to have this cool NASA pen and it's, you still have to like scribble on your hand for 30 right? seconds or whatever.
Maybe it doesn't work on Earth. Maybe it only works on the moon.
Right.
Don't buy it from the shop.
And like zero gravity. I don't know why I feel like I have one of, like, I feel like my dad came home once and was like, hey, this pen writes on the moon.
Also, it's radioactive.
Yeah. There was a bit of a mistake, so.
Also, never go to Delaware. I'm not going to tell you why.
Maybe this is like rude to NASA or whatever, but I feel like the pen that writes upside down is not that big of an accomplishment. I'm like, yeah, it's full of ink. Ink spreads.
Okay.
There you go.
We could have
done that was
cooler.
Like some scientist buddy Jeff who like also needed a job.
I've got.
I'll do the pen guy and Tang. We'll do Tang also. I'll do Tang.
Tang and pens.
Apologies to NASA. I have to eat crow. Unlike most ballpoint pens, their pen doesn't rely on gravity to get the ink flowing. The cartridge is instead pressurized with nitrogen at 35 pounds Whoa. Per square inch. So the pressure pushes the ink towards the little ball at the tip.
Oh. That feels like more of a weapon. Like pressurized nitrogen?
I feel like I wouldn't be able to fly with that, let alone go to the moon with that. Interesting.
I hate to be too negative here, but aren't pencils done? Am I the only one that thinks pencils are done? I haven't used a pencil since school, really.
I like a good mechanical pencil if I'm in the mood.
I never do it for my own writing because I don't know. I gets all messy, gets all over my hand. I guess like as an art, there's a lot of pencil artists as an art form.
Please, but more power to them.
Yes.
I did sketch on a work call with a pencil on Friday because I was like, I need to distract.
But if I'm like
But
writing,
only for doodling, like I wouldn't write with a pencil.
Sketch. You ever use that like thick mechanical pencil lead and then you're writing and then it starts to like squeak?
Yes. Oh, I was like, why are my teeth hurting? It's because of the squeak.
It's like the same as like hearing styrofoam a little bit. It's like, oh, I need to like find the point again.
Yes.
Grosses me out.
Yeah.
Pencils.
Done.
You canceled.
Done. That's the hot
pencil.
Good luck Googling pencil next week. Pencil tennis.
Wow. Who did I talk to about my commitment issues?
Wow. Chloe, that fact is as hot as my little sweaty cheeks get whenever I, whichever cheeks you imagine, whenever I watch a movie that's set in space, it gives me so much anxiety. I have to have someone else watch it first and confirm with me that no one dies in it, and then I can watch it.
Did you see Gravity? Because technically he just floated.
Absolutely not. Okay. That is my nightmare. Okay. I was like, what's happening? For the listeners, Chloe just picked something off of my face.
I didn't pick something off her face. I delicately beautied you.
Oh, thank you.
Oh.
That's a nice way to say it.
That's a beautiful
thing. It might win an MTV movie.
Best rights, delicate baby. Beauty.
Chloe, that fact is as hot as any trip to a stationery store because for some reason I love stationery so much. Any trip, any stationery store. Even Staples at a push, I'll take it. But I prefer a different option. But yeah, a stationery shop.
Chloe, that fact was as hot as my head used to get in the summer when I used to have like a really big afro in school. And then kids would just like walk up to me and then just put like pencils in my hair and just hide them in there. So I would just amass like a huge... I just pencil and I just like turn suddenly and then like
don't take you to space. Like did you ever lay down and poke yourself?
No. I was, okay. We did have nap time.
Sounds like
kindergarten.
I'm sorry to say, Shem, I would have been one of those kids. I used to always put pencils in people's hoodie. Did you guys ever do that? When the hood was down?
Yeah.
They would put it up, it would all fall on their head.
I used to teach in the Japanese middle school, and then I still had the big afro because I could just hide pencils in there and then just pull it out, and it blew their minds that they couldn't conceive of something so difficult. And they'd call other friends in and that was my brief moment of being the cool teacher.
That is cool.
You're always the cool teacher.
That fact was as hot as NASA accidentally going to the sun.
Houston, you fucking idiots.
Whoops, missed by 100 light years.
That fact is as hot. To be totally frank, I was going to do a sun one too. So I'm a little at a loss now. That fact is as hot as an overly pressurized nitrogen pencil.
Pencil.
Oh shit.
No, it could be mechanical pencil pressurized.
That's so funny, Dan, because as you were looking just looking desperately in front of you.
Where are their facts?
I have this pencil.
Pencil.
Speaking of hot things. Can you bring us home?
Oh, yeah. All right. I have such a highbrow fact today.
I'm ready.
My fact is that psychologists, and honestly, I spent a really long time trying to find out who these psychologists were, what they did, couldn't. But psychologists somewhere have discovered that the manner in which a person eats an Oreo cookie provides great insight into their personality. Oh. So I have a list of the 10 ways they looked at.
There's 10 ways to eat an Oreo. 10 creases.
And then
Huevos Rancheros.
Oreos Rancheros. Oreos Divorciados.
Raw Oreo. I'll read the list of 10, and then I'll find out what everyone's are, and I'll click through to...
Wait, I have to think of what mine is before I'm poisoned by knowing how it's defined.
Okay, great. I'll give everyone a moment. What I will say, while everyone is thinking, there was a different Oreo study. Again, couldn't find out who these peeps were. But it's Oreos are as addictive as cocaine. That was an entirely different survey.
I've been. No,
so who was the control group?
We gave 20 cocaine addicts Oreos and cocaine.
It turns out if you give a cocaine addict the choice of an Oreo or cocaine, they will take the Oreo. I think there's a similar thing with bread. It's to do with the part of the brain it taps into.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. My girlfriend brought home this Oreo brand. It's not just a cookies and cream, but it's an Oreo brand ice cream bar. And I've been talking about them almost every day because I'm these are so good. I was I know I've already had one, but I want another one. And now I'm addicted to
cookies. The study
doesn't
lie.
Have you had the pop chip Oreo flavored popcorn?
What?
The what? Dinner, the what?
A company, I think, called Pop Chip, and they make this popcorn.
Oh, I know that.
But it literally tastes like it's made of Oreos and has Oreo pieces in, even though it doesn't. It's just food magic, but it's really, really good.
All right. What is the...
Has everyone had a moment to consider how they eat an Oreo?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
The options are, 1, the whole thing all at once.
Whoa.
2, one bite at a time.
Psychopath.
3, slow and methodical nibbles, examining the results of each bite afterward. 4,
No.
I don't think I read all of these before. 4, in little fierce nibbles. 5, dunked in some liquid. They offer up milk or coffee. 6, twisted apart, the inside, then the cookie. 7, twisted apart, the inside and toss the cookie. 8, just the cookie, not the inside. 9, I just like to lick them, not eat them. And 10, I don't have a favorite way because I don't like Oreo cookies.
Wow.
So those are your options.
I'm going to say number 9 was added because I feel like Ariana Grande did like some kind of PR or something after she licked her donut and was like, add this one.
I have seen people lick them though.
And not eat them at all?
I don't know about that, but I have seen people do like...
No, Rachel, that's normal. That's how I eat them.
So you are... Okay,
but you finish it.
I go...
Twisted apart the inside, then the cookie?
No, you okay. didn't. So I'll pop it. The middle is my favorite part, and I want to save that as close to last as possible. So I'll pop it, eat the first ugly cookie, whatever, get that out of the way.
The cookies are so good.
Then I'll either bite it or lick the middle, but kind of get... Always got to have a little cream with the cookie.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a nice, solid way to eat
the
Oreo.
That's a solid way to eat them, yeah.
Unfortunately, I think I'm number three, which is slow and methodical.
Okay. That means you follow the rules. You're very tidy and orderly. You're very meticulous in every detail with everything you do to the point of being anal, retentive, and irritating to others. Stay out of the fast lane if you're only going to do the speed limit.
I would say yes, but if you ask my girlfriend about the like being anal, retentive with cleaning, she would be like, no, this bitch.
Yeah,
no.
I think you're very organized, but it's never to a point of irritation.
Thank you.
It's a skill that we embrace on the team. Okay, any other takers on how they want to, how they eat their Oreo?
INFJ.
Stop. Are you an INFJ? Oh.
I don't like to get them stuck in my teeth, so I will I hate how stuck they get, so I will take off one of the cookies and sort of break it in half and like just sort of wait till it kind of disintegrates.
It?
Yeah, kind of melt it and then try to get as little stuck in my teeth as possible.
That's a good way, but it doesn't make my list of 10, I'm afraid.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you broke the list.
Whoa. You broke the list. I will say though that I do that if I know I'm like if I'm not in my house when I'm eating the Oreo and I can't brush my teeth after, I do the melt method.
Well, Ryan, I will say, at least with a chocolate chip, you're a bit of a dunker.
I'll dunk.
Chocolate chip cookie, which also does the same thing, kind of, where it melts it away a little bit.
Yes. Wow. Yeah. I almost prefer or have more of a thing with textures than I do with flavors. Mm. So that dictates a lot of my eating habits, I think.
That's fine. Yeah.
I will either dunk in milk. I've never dunked an Oreo in coffee. That seems like not a pairing that people have presented to me that I'm curious about now.
Yeah.
But I'll also open, lick, close, bite. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Those are my two.
So dunked, everyone likes you because you're always upbeat. You like to sugarcoat unpleasant experiences and rationalize bad situations into good ones. You're in total denial about the shambles you call a life. I'm so sorry they wrote this for me.
Okay, I was about to say, yours is way nicer than mine. And then it took a turn.
Lost life
based
on
what we know about the other study. You have a propensity towards narcotic addiction. But I mean, maybe this person just ate a lot of Oreos because we know they're addictive.
I wouldn't say that I'm at all in denial about the shambles in my life.
Yeah. I fully embrace it. I am bored, baby.
I can't get out of this, but I'm not denying it.
I embrace it. Any other takers?
Oh, I'm dunked as well.
You're dunked as well. I'm usually twisted apart the inside, then the cookie-ish. You have a highly curious nature. You take pleasure in breaking things apart to find out how they work, though not always able to put them back together. So you destroy all the evidence of your activities. You deny your involvement when things go wrong. You're a compulsive liar.
Oh, my God.
Exhibit deviant, if not criminal behavior.
Oh, that is me to a T.
Wait, that is?
You lost me, but you got me back at deviant.
I think these psychologists are just, like, angry.
I mean, I could find no history of the psychologist, so.
I think they've eaten too much sugar.
Or just a lot of cocaine.
They just read each other's behavior and roasted each other.
Mean.
So, how was my fact?
Lindsay, that fact was as hot as the sick burns that were dealt.
My dude,
what? I do that voice a lot.
I'm just excited to see where you're going.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I love it. Lynn's effect is as hot as the addictive properties of cocaine.
Hot and scary.
Shout out to cocaine.
Shout out to cocaine.
Dude, shout out to cocaine. Honestly, changed my life.
Honestly, just one time, bless up cocaine. Okay?
Bless up.
Oh, no.
Could I turn you up in your cans?
Can you turn me up? Because I can't hear anyone.
Okay.
I'm back.
Okay, great.
Thank you. You're best.
I love tech.
Do you guys record the video of these episodes also?
Yes.
I highly recommend going back and watching the like two-ish minutes there where Chloe was trying to get Shem's attention.
I was also watching it and having a blast.
Trying to kind of like lightly tap his arm to like trying to rub it with the blanket.
Did you see? They literally flop him with the blanket and he goes... He didn't even acknowledge it. He moved his arm when I touched him. Stop.
Oh, I really want to watch that.
I was just in the moment focusing.
He really was. You're really in the facts.
Oh, wow.
Sweet.
As hot as the sun, that fact.
Oh, that's fine. It was as hot as eating the Oreos on the sun.
Yeah. Oh, that's squishy melted Oreos on the sun.
Yes.
I'll say it's as hot as the coffee that I'm going to be dunking my next Oreo into.
You crazy man.
You're crazy.
Coffee. I never thought of that.
Yeah.
And I will say this. I know it's not part of the question, but double stuffed. Mm. It's always double stuffed.
Yes, mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah. I agree.
Just before you dunk it in the coffee, can you go, you're crazy for this one, Dan. As you
Oh, also, yeah, I got a shout out.
For my dunks.
Yeah, of course. I got to shout out the white fudge covered Oreo or like snow covered Oreos, I think they're called. Have you ever had those?
I haven't had those.
Oh, they're incredible. I think they're like a winter or Christmas time mm-hmm. special, but they're just like regular Oreos, but they're covered in like, I think white chocolate or white Oreo, whatever it is.
I was going to shout out the mint. The mint. I know that's not everyone's favorite, but I love it.
Okay.
Now, here's the question I've come up with mint.
Yes.
Was it big in your family growing up as a dessert?
No, actually.
No, okay.
I didn't discover it until maybe high school, and then I was like, this is my favorite.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. Damn.
And I hate toothpaste.
Disprove my theory.
I hate toothpaste because I think it's too minty.
That's crazy because I hate mint desserts, but I eat toothpaste.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Last week I had a mint and chocolate tea at my friend's house, and that
Interesting.
Delivered on both things, but confused my
head. I like
head.
Minty, but that feels tea. A lot.
Yeah.
The mints that I eat, like, could eat like candy. Do y'all know those, like, the soft mints? But they're not. Yes. Mint isn't even, like, the right word for it.
The pillow mints. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Yep. Yeah. Oh, those are good.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I'm glad we're all.
Yeah.
We've covered our mint preferences.
There's a little gelateria in Italy, in the place where I used to like go and teach martial arts.
What?
And they had like, I'd always come to like the same like place in the village, and they had a stracchiatella con menta, which had like little bits of like mint in it, but like it felt so fresh, you could taste it. It felt like it had been picked from a tree and like stuffed in the ice cream.
Yes.
That ruined me for all other ice cream flavors. Cause like, it was like, oh no, this is like what real food tastes like. And then it's been like an upsetting like journey ever since. Cause like everything else has been like a letdown.
Oh, yeah. That sounds nice.
Yeah.
You've taught martial arts in Italy. You taught Japanese kids middle school in Japan.
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
I'm just old.
No. Shem is, Chloe and I say this all the time. Shem is one of our closest, dearest friends. We have been performing together for 5 years. And every time Shem talks, I learn a new fact about him. I didn't know you lived in Italy.
Oh, I just would go there to teach. But like.
Okay, I didn't know you got flown. Like you went to Italy to teach martial arts. That's cool.
That's
it was
cool.
Capoeira?
Yes.
Okay. I knew capoeira. I didn't know about the Italy. I'm like, a gelateria, Shem.
I think it's because when I talk, people just hear an accent and go, go by me, governor. And then like the information stops like.
Stop, no. I hear more than that.
But you do hear that.
But I did. I do have to stop myself.
Hey. Oh.
Okay.
You ready?
Am I ready?
Yeah. Lince, did I already rate your fact? I don't think I did.
Oh, I thought you did. I thought we were. Yes, I thought we were wrapping up.
What did I say?
I don't.
It was hot.
It was about cocaine.
Oh yeah, I did. Nice. Addiction to cocaine.
It was hot.
I was right. In that case, we've reached the part of the episode where our guests, and I don't know how we're gonna do this. Maybe talk amongst yourselves, and we'll pretend we can't hear.
We can pick one each.
Yeah, you can pick one each.
But you have to scream it at the same time. We got to pick the hottest fact of the episode. You can pick your own. Absolutely can. And we encourage it if it's the hottest. And we got to say, they're both hot.
Yeah. I'm going to think about those.
We will recap ours, so no worries if you don't remember.
I had meteor war bad, but not bad enough.
Yeah.
That was mine.
Just do jazz. No, a NASA pen.
Oreos reveal your personality when you eat them.
And then, of course, we had
Chef's Hat.
100 full.
Mm-hmm.
Baby.
And
then we had four kisses.
What was mine? Four kisses.
Twilight kisses.
Twilight kisses.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I talk it out. I guess I won't talk it out like we're wasting time on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. I'll just say that. but the Hey Ya fact does a good job of already taking something that I'm interested in.
Yes.
Outcasting the song Hey Ya and reshaping my belief and understanding of the arc of that song, and also enlightening me as to how the music industry works in a way I didn't know. So that's that's a pretty good four quadrant fact.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Good job, Chef.
I need to hear from mine.
Yeah, I know.
I would give that. Hey, yeah, I think Hey Ya was also pretty hot for me. I would give that a jazzy, you know, a ski, what are we calling that again? What
scat?
Scatting, yeah, a squeedobble or something.
Oh, so a David.
A David.
Yeah. David from Real World.
Squeedobble.
Well, congratulations, Shem and Outcast.
Yeah, we can't leave out Andre and Big B.
Our sponsors of this podcast.
Okay, well, our listeners, they're going to want to find y'all. Where can they hear you? Where can they see you? Where can they, unless you've scrubbed your history, where can they Google you?
You're the Man Now Dog podcast is Ryan and I's improv and conversation podcast. If you're interested in checking it out, we have free episodes wherever you get podcasts. And then if you like what you hear there, you can pop onto Patreon and support us at patreon.com/TheManNowDog. And then biggrandewebsite.com are a sketch and improv and podcasting group. Big Grande puts up all our podcasts there for like a la carte situation. So you can buy them directly from us. And we also have animated content, and we're about to post some live improv shows on there in the near future.
Do and then we're both on social media. You know, I'm at Chosenberg, and I think Dan is Dan Lippert Cool.
That's right.
Yay. Nice.
Which I agree with. I think he's very cool.
I think you're the chosen one.
I feel very cool as well for calling your podcast just Man Dog up top.
No, that is what we changed the name.
Oh,
so you weren't
really
wrong in doing that. Yeah.
I've been sweating for an hour.
Not an hour, just this last minute when you said that. Oh boy. Okay. We are Trash Comedy. We are Trash Comedy on all the social meds. If you got a fact you want us to read it on the podcast, we will. You just got to share it with us on email, via DM, call us at a number. We are part of the Apocalypse Podcast Network. And if you are in New York City, we have a live show coming up February 24th. Stores at 7:30. The show starts at 8 at the Art Cafe and Bar in Brooklyn.
Nailed it.
Nice. Yeah.
Nailed it.
Oh, I feel like I'm going to throw up. That was the hardest thing I've ever done. Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you guys so much for doing this.
Thanks for having us.
Yay. Nice to meet.
Bye.
Oh, that, yeah.
Bye to the podcast. Bye.
Bye, podcast.
Bye, podcast. Thanks for listening to the Apocalypse Podcast Network. For more great podcasts, go to apocalypsepodcastnetwork.com. And remember, every time you support one of our sponsors, you're supporting the podcast you just heard.